My name's Simran, and welcome to Untangled, the podcast where we'll take a deep dive into topics to try and gain a better understanding of the world. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Untangled. Today, we're going to be talking about a really important topic and a topic that people don't like to talk about, but it's something that could affect any one of us or any of our friends or loved ones. And that topic is baby loss. I'm really delighted to have Selena Goyle here today with us, sharing her story very bravely. And it's amazing that she's come on and decided to share her story to help other bereaved parents and other people who want to support those who are going through baby loss. So welcome, Selena. I was wondering if you would introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your story and why you're on the podcast today.
Hi, Simran. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. And it's my pleasure to be here. Yes, I'd be happy to share my story with you. Sadly, and we found out at 36 weeks that our son's brain did not fully form. And we came to know that from a scan. Devastatingly, the consultants advised us to have a termination because he wouldn't have had a very good quality of life. And it was such a difficult decision to have to make. But we had to do what was in his best interest. And I'm here today to talk more about baby loss with you and to talk about why is baby loss so difficult to talk about? Why is it different from other losses? And what would be helpful to support a bereaved mother or bereaved parent? What's sort of unhelpful? And what we can do to break the taboo, to break the silence of baby loss?
Yeah, thank you so much, Selena, for sharing your story. And I think those are some really, really important things that we need to cover today. I was wondering if we could also, for the health professionals listening to this, so I'm a medical student and there might be other medical students or other health professionals listening, if you could tell us what you found helpful from a medical perspective and less helpful in the NHS with doctors and nurses and midwives in your care.
Absolutely. So initially, when we saw Avira's scan, we were so shocked to find out that his brain sadly hadn't formed. And I think the way that the consultants told us, there was one particular consultant, he was quite abrupt and quite rude. And I think the word that he used was, you know, this is a disaster. And the way he was, it was just so shocking. And both because my husband and I, we were just so taken aback with how they sort of broke the news to us. But after some reflection, I realized that sometimes medical professionals, they have to break news, you know, really devastating and really, really terrible news. And I think I was actually grateful on reflection on how he sort of painted the picture, and because it got us to look at this and take it very, very seriously, that sadly our son wasn't going to have the quality of life that we wanted and would have hoped for. But also this is it. This is what we were dealing with. I think that encouraged us to obviously being it a very serious decision. Whereas maybe we would have gone back and forth on the idea had someone sort of not been as blunt, I suppose. And so it really got us to look at the reality of what things were like. So I appreciate in your profession, it must be that there are cases that you've got to communicate difficult news to people. And sometimes it's how you phrase it and how they respond to it.
Definitely. I think that's a really important point. Definitely a really important point for health professionals. Like, we do have to break bad news. And it's interesting that you say that he really made you face the reality, because I think we might want to shy away from breaking the bad news and giving the patient reality. And, you know, there's studies showing that doctors sort of portray news in a bit more of an optimistic way. But that's ultimately not so good for the patient in a lot of cases. So it's interesting that you say that, how he broke the news so bluntly, and maybe at first you're a bit taken aback by that, and but then on reflection you're really grateful. So I think, yeah, it can be really scary to break bad news, but you're doing it for the patient, and you have to think about that first before you think about your own discomfort, I think, as a health professional. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I think you're about to go on to talk about your delivery.
Yeah, absolutely. With the delivery, I was really grateful to have a really lovely team who were there to deliver Avir and to look after Avir. And I think they recognised how devastating it is for a bereaved parent to leave the hospital empty-handed. And I remember leaving the hospital and I said to the midwife and the nurses in care, I said, please look after my baby, because it's just so heartbreaking to have to separate from him. It was heartbreaking to have to separate from him. And I just said, oh, I know that you're going to look after him. I don't even need to say. And it was because she handled Avir with such care that I felt this sort of warmth from her, and I knew that she would look after him.
Yeah. So the midwives for you, they really showed you that they cared, I think.
Yes, they did. Yeah. But I'm aware of other support. I'm aware of other people from the support groups who have said that they didn't feel as much care, or sometimes things go wrong where the hospital can be blamed for the loss. And that gets very complicated, because then you're sort of faced with legal battles and things like that when you're trying to also deal with your own grief.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think other people might have different experiences, but I'm quite happy to hear that you had a good experience in terms of the medical side of things. But yeah, people do have different stories, and I suppose it's important to appreciate that baby loss, we're talking about baby loss, and there are a few different types. So really sadly, you experienced what would be classified as a stillbirth, which is after the 24-week mark when you lose your baby. And then there are a few other types as well. So miscarriage before 24 mm-hmm. weeks, termination of pregnancy, mm-hmm. and these things are much more common than we talk about. And I think you said earlier that you wanted to break the stigma, and this part of doing this podcast was breaking the stigma and the taboo about talking about these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I think baby loss is such a difficult topic, and I think the reason, we can explore more on why baby loss is such a difficult topic, and I think it's because it's such a different loss to other losses. I think when a grandparent passes away, we kind of accept that as the norm, because it kind of follows a natural course of life where an elder person passes away. But when a baby passes away, it's just so different, because you know, it's just so different, because it just seems sort of unnatural. Do you have any further thought on why else that might be?
So why baby loss is different to other losses? Yeah. I think, as you said, when a grandparent dies, you know that one day everyone is going to pass, and it's a part of nature, life and death. And so you expect that. And I think with grandparents, you then have the funeral and everyone sharing memories. But when it comes to baby loss, no one expects that. Mm. Like you said, it's not something you expect or is meant to happen. Mm. So I think that's part of where the difference comes in. And what do you feel?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so strange how we're saying this is something that is unnatural, doesn't follow the course of nature, but is happening every single day. And I think that's what's so interesting about it. I think, like you said, there aren't a lot of memories when it comes to a baby. You know, when it came to Avir, the sort of memories were between Vikas and I, and sort of the immediate family who saw him. But there aren't a lot of memories for other people, because, you know, his life was such a short one. So I think that's what makes it so different to other losses.
Yeah. And I suppose you've told me in the past that It's sort of like you don't have those memories with other people, you just have them to yourself and to the glass. Yet you just want to talk about your baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think as we've spoken about, it is different to other losses, which might be part of the reason why it's harder to talk about. But as a mother and someone who's been through this, I was wondering what support you found helpful from friends and family, and things you found maybe less helpful.
Sure, I'm more than happy to share what was helpful for me. I was really grateful that I've got such a great supportive network. I've got a wonderful husband, Vikas, who, you know, has been there for me and has supported me throughout my grief through all these months, and we've supported each other in that way. I was also, I'm incredibly blessed that my mum was sort of my biggest strength, and particularly early in the early days when I was really, really down, she was just sort of there for me, and she made sure that I held myself together, and she supported me by, you know, making sure I was looking after myself, because I think obviously in the early days that seems secondary, and you kind of don't really feel like picking yourself up as an adult and looking after yourself in terms of cooking and things. So she was making sure that I was well fed, and I'm really blessed that I have such a great supportive network of family and friends. There's so many people to name, but I'm really grateful that I have that. And I think what's important, and my advice to other people, would be to reach out to the person that's bereaved, because they may not have a supportive network. They may not have family and friends that they feel that they could talk to. And I think it's really important to communicate with them and to reach out and to sort of just be there for them. So that was particularly helpful for me. To have people around me. I think other things that are quite helpful to other people who are supporting someone, a bereaved parent, is to ask open-ended questions. I think that would be really, really helpful, to say things like, tell me about your baby, or how are you feeling today? Really asking, you know, really asking them what their emotion is today, and to ask them to talk about their baby, because, you know, we've talked about this, bereaved parents want to talk about their babies.
Yeah, I think so that's really, really helpful advice for friends and family in terms of how we can support someone who might have gone through baby loss. Like you said, asking the open-ended questions.
I think some other really great advice is to know to other people that are supporting someone that's bereaved, is to know that you cannot fix it. And I think that that's quite a tricky one, because obviously your supportive network, you know, your closest family and friends, they really want to be able to sort of pick you up. And it's quite difficult for them to see you go through something so difficult. But I think it's important to remember and to know that though they can't necessarily fix it, just to be there for you during this difficult time.
Yeah, definitely. I think you mentioned that there were certain things that you found less helpful that people had said to you. I was wondering if you'd want to talk a bit more about that and what they could do instead.
I think one of the things that I experienced were sort of, you know, don't worry, you can have another, or I've heard other people experience, you know, and sort of, don't worry, you've got other children first. And I'd like to just sort of share why that isn't helpful, and what a bereaved mother feels when you say something like that to her. You know, if I get you to take, let's take our hand, for example, right? You've got four fingers and a thumb. If I said to you one day, Simran, if I said to you, you know, you know, you don't have a finger one day, you know, you don't have a finger anymore, one of the fingers, or you don't have the thumb anymore, the hand, your hand, will look completely different. Your hand isn't the same anymore. You can't use it in the same way anymore. And so for them to then say, okay, don't worry, you can have another child, it doesn't take the pain away. Likewise, you know, likewise, your hand is different. It doesn't look the same. And if I was to say to all the mothers out there, I want all the mothers to hear this. If you imagine your children in front of you, and if you imagine you couldn't see one of them. You couldn't see one of them anymore. You couldn't hold them. You couldn't hug them. You couldn't kiss them. What would that be like? Just because you've got the others, that doesn't take the pain away of not having, you know, if your child wasn't, if the one child that you're thinking of right now isn't there. And I think that that's what's important. This is the message I want to share today, that that is a painful thing to sort of hear, that don't worry, you can have another child. Because the sort of pain, like I said, the hand has changed, the sort of, it's different now.
Exactly. And that sort of ties in with the point you said about people just wanting to fix it. And it's not something that you can fix. It's something that you've gone through, like you said, and you will feel that loss, and people can't stop you from feeling that. And like the advice that you gave is ask you questions, let you open up and talk about it, rather than me trying to fix it for you. I shouldn't be trying to fix it. I should be helping you open up and talk about it. Is that thing you're kind of saying?
That's exactly it. That's, yeah, you sort of summarized it really well in a nutshell. It's about saying, I think people who often say that, they almost want a quick fix to say, oh, don't worry, you can have another child. And but that doesn't necessarily fix anything, because your grief is still there and the loss of that baby is still there. And I think that that's what's important to note.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you mentioned to me before that even receiving messages like I'm thinking about you and things like that, it's not them trying to fix it, but that's something that you appreciated, is just messages like that and asking you those questions, like how are you? And as well, I think you mentioned to me one time about the culture of messaging now as opposed to calling. I don't know if you wanted to touch on that.
WhatsApp Messenger, emails and messengers are really great, but I think a phone call to check in and to ask how that person is feeling, I think you can then gauge how they're feeling a bit more. And although it may be, I experienced times where people, yes, I did receive phone calls and I didn't necessarily call them back straight away. To know that someone was calling me and thinking of me was really, really lovely. And like you said, messages like thinking of you and I love you, I think sometimes are far more important and more heartfelt, I suppose, than messages like, you know, time heals all wounds and all these sort of cliches that we hear from loss. And I think I got a lot of those cliches. Knowing that you're thinking and that you love that person is more powerful.
Yeah, a great advice and really helpful for those who are wanting to support those bereaved parents. I know for you, it's been so far a 6-month journey of dealing with the loss, and you have certain ways that you've dealt with it that you found helpful. And I wondered if you wanted to share that with those bereaved parents out there.
Absolutely. My biggest advice to bereaved mothers and bereaved parents out there would be to be kind to yourself. I think that that's extremely important. In the first few days after my loss, I think I would look at my day and feel like I hadn't achieved anything. But I think the fact that, you know, if you're able to get up, you're able to have a shower, you're able to have a meal that day, that is, you know, that's enough, because you've gone through something so difficult and so traumatic. And even if you aren't able to do those things all in one day, that's okay too. And I think it's important to know to be kind to yourself. My other advice would be to acknowledge your baby in any way possible. I say goodnight to Avir and I say good morning to Avir. I light candles and I do things to remember certain dates. Recently, we just marked, just a few days ago, we just marked the 6 months for Avir since I delivered him. And we lit a candle at the time that I delivered him back in January. So sort of acknowledging these days, there are going to be difficult days, Mother's Day, anniversary, due dates, these all will come and go. But my suggestion would be to acknowledge them, to do something for your baby, put flowers in the garden, light a candle, go through, you know, scan photos, do whatever you need to do to remember and remember the love for your baby. And I think that that's what's so important.
Yeah, definitely. That I think that's something that a lot of people can benefit from. I know you received support from a charity that you found really helpful and that you're now supporting now, called SANS. So that's Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Charity. So I wondered if you wanted to talk about a little bit about that charity and how it's helped you, the support groups, the telephone networks.
SANS was really great because they run support groups. So we did go to one support group face to face before the pandemic and before lockdown, and it was really helpful to meet people face to face, and it was really just I just felt so supportive being in this room filled with women and parents opposite me who were going through the same thing that I was and who completely understood where I was. And likewise, I felt supportive by them, and I hope that I was able to support them in my return. And it's kind of like, I think they say that you're kind of part of this club that you don't want to be part of, but you are.
Yeah.
And again, SANS, like you mentioned, they have a telephone line that you're able to call. And, you know, these volunteers, my understanding is that they've also gone through their own baby loss, so they also understand what you've gone through. And it's completely confidential. And I would advise any bereaved parents to seek out the support groups and call the helpline if you'd like to, because they really helped me.
Yeah, definitely. And that's really nice to hear that there are those support services out there. It's part of the healing process. So I think, like you said earlier, all mothers want to do is talk about their baby, but because other people like family and friends don't have those memories to share, perhaps SANS was also that place where you could talk about your baby and really acknowledge what you've been through, the memories, and also what you were saying earlier about the gestures. So lighting a candle, those things have really helped you, not trying those quick fixes that other people try to do and say, get over it, or you said that some people have said that.
Mm-hmm.
It's you need that healing process, you need to acknowledge it, and this charity has really helped you talking about your baby. Yeah.
Yes, I think it's so important to recognize that it's something difficult that you've gone through, and there is no getting over it, or there is no moving on from it. It's moving forward. I've read many books on grief now, and the whole sort of essence of it is that you never move on, you just move forward in a new kind of way.
Yeah, thank you. I think that is a great line to end on. And I think you had a poem as well that you wanted to share.
I do, yes. So I have a poem that I'd like to share, and here it goes. Where I dwell, there is no pain. There is no cold, no dreary rain. I find a rainbow every day and touch the sun's most warmest rays. I know you wish that I were there so you could hug and hold me near. So you would see my bright eyes shine, yet I am yours and you are mine. You ponder years that'll come and go, the little one you won't watch grow. But treasure me safely within your hearts, for there we shall not be apart. I gaze on you from heaven above, I sense your thoughts and feel your love. Please realize here I am at peace. I pray some of your pain may cease. God did not create a never, hence once again we'll be together. until such time that we shall meet, in altered words, may I repeat, I am safe, I am with you, and I love you. This poem is particularly special because it was read out at Avir's funeral. So this is a particularly really special poem to me.
Thank you so much, Selena, for coming on the podcast today and sharing your story. It's been amazing of you and really brave of you. And I think a lot of people, bereaved parents, healthcare professionals and family and friends will really benefit from it. And just thank you so much. And that was a beautiful poem.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's been my absolute pleasure. And keep it up. And I think it's really great how you're spreading different messages. And thank you so much for having me.
And I'm just grateful to all the people who do come and share their messages. And thank you, Selena. And bye, everybody.